Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is World Formzhen Fighting Champion John Chung, and you are listening to the AMAA Legends and Pioneers Radio Blog Show with Professor Gary Lee and the Sport Karate Museum Archives, protecting the history, one warrior at a time. Enjoy.
Aloha, everybody. Much mahalo. We have a really, really fun show tonight because I get to interview one of my best friends, the one of the mainstays in Texas. But before we bring him on, I want to bring on my producer, the gentleman that's put me on the air for 8 years. He's an incredible man. I'm talking about Hachi Jesse Bowen. Hey, Jesse, are you there, sir?
Hey, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, sir. How are you in North Carolina? Things are good?
Hey, better and better. Today was a beautiful day. It was
cool.
A great day.
Now, you got a lot going on. I know you got Willie the Man's book coming out with the kids, and you got Alan Goldberg. I talked to him yesterday. He's excited about his new book. But tell us what's going on with Jesse Bowen.
Well, yeah, you know, we're really having a great opportunity, and I'm always a person that takes advantage of an opportunity. And, you know, we're in this very special place of that we have to make a difference, and I really truly believe that we are impacting lives and making a difference with people. And so, you know, it's really very exciting and really super excited about the one of the new books coming out, and this is the kids' book. And the book is called Heroes. And what we're doing, kids that are involved in the Choice Awards, they're going to be recognized in their first biography book. And the book is really talking about kids as being heroes because they've had to endure the pandemic. And I know for adults, we've had the impact of you know, working from home and all these things, but these kids have had to do an education through Zoom, be in charge, be, you know, on their own, be responsible. And we really don't know what that impact is going to be. Maybe in the next 5-6 years we'll see that. But kids have had having to endure a whole lot. So the book is really about enduring that and how has the martial arts empowered you or how did it help you to, you know, go through the pandemic and still maintain a focus in your martial arts study. So just remember, for a lot of schools, were for over a year out of that direct connection. And these kids are still growing and they're developing. So this is the, you know, very first book that's out that's a biography book about kids. And again, this is the very specific thing is that kids are heroes during the pandemic and recognizing those kids for that. And the sport karate, but the AMAA is going to have a scholarship fund for several selected kids in various categories on that. So, yeah, we have that going on. And then we have Sifu Goldberg's book, the Action Martial Arts but World Biography book. So that's going to be coming out. You know, we're planning for next year and several projects. You know, we have coming out this week the Martial Arts Pioneer magazine featuring Cynthia Rothrock on the cover. Probably by the end of this week we'll have the first edition of the Martial Arts Extraordinaire magazine. And probably next month we're hoping to have the first edition of the Sport Karate Museum. So, you know, we got a lot of things going on, and you know, we're just trying to make the world a better place.
You're very important to the martial arts community and what you've done with the books and everything, and I thank you for what you did for me a couple of weeks ago with the introduction of the Sport Karate History Book. Now, if anybody wants to get a Sport Karate Museum History Book, or get on the line to get maybe a hoodie or a T-shirt, how would they do that, Brother Jesse?
Well, it's real simple. Just go back to the website if you are already inducted in the book, or if you're brand new, just go to Sport Karate Museum History Book.com. And there you can order books, you can order merchandise, you can get in contact with us. We're really looking for martial artists in particular that would like to do their autobiography book. You know, we have several people that we're talking with and working with, you know, telling their story, if nothing but the simple reason of sharing it for their kids, you know, sharing it for their great grandkids, playing it forward, you know, to the future you of that information, but being able to share that, because the information that you share can impact someone else's life. So if anyone is interested in producing a book, you know, our focus is, you know, motivational books, Christian books, not so much dealing with training manuals. You know, we would have to see what that actually looks like. Biography books, then please, you know, let us know. Regardless of what the book is, you can give me a call. We can sit down, take a look at it, and see what happens. You know, we're now, you know, officially not just, you know, producing bestseller books, but we're award-winning books. The Chuck Norris book just received a second award this year, and that was for the International Impact Award for biographies. So now we're grateful that everyone has entrusted their bios with us, but there is so much value, and we really want to help people to be able to get the value of their stories so it can benefit them, their school, their students, and their family. So you can just give me a call at 919-618-8075 or go to our website, which is elitepublications.org.
Well, thank you so much for that information, and I appreciate everything you do, Jesse Bowen. You're very, very important to the community, but also very important to the Sport Crowder Museum. So I think AJ's not going to be able to call in tonight because he's kind of sick, but we're still waiting on Dean Piles and Gary Smith. So
I'm here, Francis.
Hey, Dean, I was waiting on you, buddy. Okay,
yeah.
I'm going to introduce you because AJ is a little under the weather. Ladies and gentlemen,
hey,
my co-host
Gary.
For tonight and
Gary.
My co-host.
Gary.
Oh, yeah.
Gary, this is Jerry Smith. I want you to know I'm here.
Oh, you're on the air. Good, good. Okay, good. I'll be with you just a minute. Now, my co-host is the one and only Dean Piles. Now, he's got a lot going on. He's dealing with a new movie. He's dealing with teaching every day in his dojo. Dean, how are you doing, buddy?
Doing great.
Well,
doing
I'm excited. Tonight we got our old friend. Remember me, Steve Parks, at the event a few years
back?
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, I remember
yeah.
Mr. Parks. Oh, yeah.
Well, I've got him on the show, so let me introduce him. Ladies and gentlemen,
awesome.
This is a renaissance man, without a doubt. He's first of all, he's been one of my sponsors for fishing for many years, and he invented a company called Ragetail, soft baits with an attitude. That's a cliche. And he ended up selling that, I think, to Strike King, but he became, I would call him an entrepreneur's entrepreneur. He's an inventor. He's an incredible black belt in Texas, and we're going to talk to him tonight. Hey, Steve, are you on the air, buddy?
I sure am, and thank you for inviting me, Gary.
Well, no, thank you for being on the show. Now, let's start off by telling our listeners, how did you get started in karate? And let's talk about Mr. Brammer a little bit. Rest in peace.
Sure. Well, I first started back in about 1968, and I was training with a young man who had just, and his brother who had just, their father was stationed overseas in Korea. And they'd been there for 8 years, and they were Taekwondo. They came back, and I started training with these two young guys. And, of course, I was doing Golden Gloves then, and I thought, and I saw these boys in karate, and I said, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen. So, of course, we started training together, and I realized, man, if I can get those feet, I'm going to, you know, I'll have something to do for sure. And then the older brother, he was like 4 years older than me. The young man, his older brother was 4 years older than myself, and he was a force to be reckoned with for me. I was a big kid, but he was a little bit bigger and a heck of a lot older, more mature, and he could wreck me pretty good, so I enjoyed it for sure. And then, of course, after that, I met my lifelong friend Billy Smith and Grandmaster Billy Bramer, who's gone now, but he was such an influence in my life and mine and so many others. You wouldn't believe how many of us Texas boys came up under Grandmaster Billy Bramer. Mr. Bramer and Mr. Burleson, best friends. Mr. Bramer helped Mr. Burleson at all the Texas State. He actually threw all the Texas State tournaments for Mr. Burleson. They were best friends forever. And one of the greatest things that happened, of course, I got to take care of Mr. Bramer the last 2 years of his life. My wife and I were able to watch over him. And then after his passing, you guys, it's one of the greatest things that ever happened in my world. Mr. Burleson came to one of our belt tests, me and Billy Smith and Max Cardoza and John Anderson. He came to us and he said, can I have the floor, sir? And I said, of course you can. We'd be honored to have you, sir. Anyway, he comes up and he says, I'd like to be your Mr. Bramer. He said, now that he's gone, he said, he and Mr. Bramer were so close. He said he would be honored if we would allow him to be part of our world the way Mr. Bramer was. And, of course, hey, we had tears in our eyes. All of us got choked up. He was choked up. We were choked up.
Well, Brother Steve, we gave Mr. Burleson a standing ovation a couple weeks ago at the Power of Women.
That's what I heard. God bless you all. God bless you all for doing that.
It was so special. And, he was just supposed to come in and leave, but he stayed for almost an hour, and he stood up, and he told me.
Isn't that amazing?
It was. It was so special. And, Well, I'm overwhelmed with the fact that I got to honor Billy Bramer before he left us, and I honor him every year. Actually, you and the three amigos, Jim Paskey, Billy Smith, and you pick out someone very special every year to receive the Billy Bramer Memorial Fighting Award. And he didn't come this year because you didn't come, but he's coming to Roy Kirvin's next year. Max Cardoza and Aaron is getting the Billy Bramer.
That's right.
Yes.
Great fellows, great martial artists, great friends. And, Gary, I want you to know that Mr. Burleson, I've been there, Connie and I went to visit, my wife and I went to visit him just the other day. Mr. Burleson, he's in a bad, bad way. I want everybody looking up in prayer for sure. None of us are guaranteed another day, but for sure, when we went over there, he just loved on us, and we loved on him, and we know that he doesn't have many days left, but we want everyone to keep holding him up in prayer. What a wonderful man he's been. What a wonderful example Mr. Burleson has been in all of our lives. And so I think, I was so happy
that he made your event. That's one of the reasons why we did what we did 2 weeks ago. And, I'll share this with you. A couple of years back, he actually promoted me to my 9-3 black belt. And I tell people, even though whatever, I'm a 9-3 black belt under J. Pat Burleson, George Mitchell, and Mr. Harrison. And I'm so proud of that, Steve. And I'm so proud that I'm part of the family that Texas created. And let's talk about the two amigos, Jim Paskey and Billy Smith. How long have you been friends with those two guys?
Billy Smith and I, well, I guess Jim Paskey, he was, he and I and Billy Smith, we've been friends for going on 45, 48 years. And and it's a wonderful friend. Of course, it's like family. I think all of us in martial arts, who have brothers and sisters, real brothers and blood brothers and sisters, we're as close to our martial arts brothers and sisters as we are to our own family, if not closer many times. Because I think so many of us have been through we've been through the battles and the blood, sweat, and tears together, and we just, for gosh sake, after 50 years of being teaching together and training together and all of this, it's amazing how close we can get.
Well, I couldn't go to sleep tonight unless I mentioned Connie. Now, how long have you and Connie been together?
Well, actually, we met when we were 14 years old. We got married when we were 19.
Wow!
And so here we are, going on 70 years old, and it's been a while, but it's been wonderful for sure.
She's
just wonderful. Yeah, she's just opposite of me.
She's what
she's
we
very
say
mild
in fishing.
And gentle. Yeah.
She's what we say in fishing. She's a keeper.
That's right, for sure.
Well, I got to talk about fishing a little bit now. You created a soft bait that became worldwide. It's called Rage Tail. Now, how'd that come about, Steve?
Well, actually, I was guiding. Connie and I were very fortunate and blessed, and we were able to retire from business ventures. We was able to retire in our mid-30s, and then I just started guiding, following my passions, martial arts and guiding and fishing and hunting and all over the world. And so the fishing, that's when Lake Fork was big, bad, just started, and it was tough. And there was so many big fish in that lake, it was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And we were catching up to 200 fish a night. And then I realized, wow. And I was making my own lures and things like that. A bunch of pros would hire me to guide them, of course. And they saw my baits and they said, hey, Steve Parks, Big O, we got to have these Strike King. Some of my friends are Strike King pros. And they said, can you show them the Strike King? So sure enough, after a few years of wanting to just fish them for myself and my clients, and then finally I showed them the Strike King. And then Strike King, actually, Gary, I still own Rage Tail, both all the trademark, the business, the company. And Strike King, they're licensing my products from me, and they have been for, I guess, going on 17 years. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned earlier the name Big O. That's your nickname. Mm-hmm. How did you get that?
Uh-huh. Well, at 6'4", and I guess 240, little O doesn't fit. So some children in my schools back in the 80s. Some of the younger ones that we had in the school. Of course, it's missed. We call even the children, we call them by their last name. If Garrett would have been in my school, your son, I would have called him Mr. Lee, because we call every child Mr. by their last name, because what the respect we give is the respect that we receive. So,
yes, sir.
And so in the dojo, of course, it's Mr. and Miss, and all this stuff. But outside the dojo, the parents, whom we're all best friends, we're hunting and fishing together, we're spending time together. So instead of us calling each other Mr. outside the dojo, we call them by first names. And so one of the fathers, he had three boys. One of them's All-American punter, kicker, and all this kind of stuff. Anyway, he had three boys, and those boys heard him say Big O Steve. And then they picked up the Big O, and then they started calling me Big O back in the 80s. And then that's been 40 years, so it stuck. So I didn't care what they called me as long as they called me.
Now, you've been a big advocate of the Sport Card Museum, and some of the things you've done is pretty amazing. You've not only helped with the museum, was getting the word out, but every year you and Connie put together Rage Tail bags, which is a big hit for the kids. And I want to talk about this because you're a big kid advocate. What brought that about? Why do you think kids are so important, Steve?
Well, I think the future of every industry, I think we found out in martial arts that the future of our industry is children. You know, back when we started, it was just a bunch of rough and tumble guys. There were very few women. Other than people like Grandmaster Linda Denley and these other ladies that were in sport karate back then, Cynthia Rothrock and those, all it was a bunch of rough and tumble guys, you know. And so and there was very few children involved. Nowadays we've got probably more children involved than we have adults, and that being so, you know, that's what's growing our industry. And so I think it's like fishing, hunting, no matter what sport it is, the children are our future. And the more we can get children involved, and help them to enjoy the sports, the better off all of these sports will be in the future.
Well, that's cool. Now, I got to ask you, because I've been in your trophy room, and there's a huge bear in there with all the amazing trophies you collected. How did you get that bear, Steve? Because that bear is what? 8 feet, 9 feet tall. I mean, it's huge.
Well, he's actually 10'4", but he's still 10'4". Yeah, it's a, but it's a Kodiak bear from Kodiak Island. You know, I decided a long time ago I wanted to hunt a Kodiak bear, which is a brown bear, one of the form of the grizzly. There's like three different types of grizzlies, and you got silver tip, which is a mountain grizzly, and then you've got the brown bear. And then you got the Kodiak, which is a brown bear, but only found on Kodiak Island. So I went to Kodiak Island, hunted that Kodiak, and it took 13 to 14 days. What an adventure, amazing adventure for sure. It would take me an hour to explain all the good times that was. But I had to pack the bear hide out 17 miles on my shoulders, 125 pounds bear hide and head, 17 miles on foot. And that was, I lost 14 pounds, and I didn't think I had a pound to lose before I started that trip.
Well, I got to ask you about some of the peacock bass. Now, people who don't know what peacock bass are, I think that's in the Amazon and South America only, but these are incredible fish. Now, you got like three or four of them on the wall. They look like they're over 15, 20 pounds. How those come about?
Well, I fished in, like I say, after we basically retired, I started traveling all over the world, and I always wanted to fish the Amazon for peacock bass. And so I was down there for about 12 years in a row, and after the first year, I started doing weekly trips where I would stay out there for a week by myself and a young man, one of these Indian boys, the Aborigine from down there in the Amazon River area. And then we would stay there for a week at a time, and then the Amazon Queen would come by and pick us up and pull us overnight, and we'd stay another week in another area. Just, you know, I'd be basically camping out in a hammock. All I had was a hammock. And we would eat some of the fish that we didn't carry any food source. All we carried was salt and pepper, and that's it. And we caught what we ate. We were catching or whatever, and stayed 12 weeks at a time, and it was just an absolute wonderful time.
Wow. What a great story. Now, you've been a big part of the legend for a lot of years now. What's it like coming to Houston or the events? Like, you've been to Vegas too. What's it like going to a Legends and seeing all these incredible pioneers of sport karate that we put together through the museum?
Well, it's like these class reunions that we have. You know, I just made it back from one of our 50-year high school class reunion, of course, and sure, I see a lot of friends that I haven't seen for years and years and years, and it's wonderful. And then some of the people that we see and visit are people that we get to see on a regular basis. And, you know, Mr. Lee, I think it's one of the most important things in the world is that we can have these types of events. Mr. Jesse Bowen was there. He was the one that was throwing this last event in Vegas, and it was terrific, and it was great to be able to see all of our friends. And like I say, they're like family, and then there's a lot of people there that I'd never even met, you know, people that I've known about them, heard their names, saw them fight over the years, just, you know, very proud of their successes, and then I finally get to meet them, you know. So is it great? Yeah, it's wonderful. It's wonderful that we can actually do this, and I think the more often we can get together, I think the better it is for sure. And it's wonderful to see the younger people come up under us and be there to support them. So I think it's, you know, one of the best, well, absolutely one of the best industries in the world is the martial arts industry. And it's because it's full of a lot of people that have passion, that have put a lot of time, effort, It's blood, sweat, and tears. Yes, it is. But I want to tell you something. It's worth every moment of it.
Yes, sir. Well, you know, you're doing something now that's really exciting, and I really can't wait to see it. You've actually built some lakes up North Texas. Tell me about that a little. Mm-hmm. What are you doing up there with the ranch and everything?
Well, being blessed the way Connie and I have been forever, I guess. We're the luckiest, most blessed people in the world, I think. And over the years, I've been able to hunt and fish all everywhere. And you know, I've caught 10-pound bass, it seems like my entire life. But a lot of people, you know, I can't take everybody fishing, for sure. It's hard to get, you know, people have a hard time getting the time to go fishing with me and stuff like this. And I love to take people fishing, and I do. I take a lot of people fishing still. But one of the greatest things that's happened to us is we were able to buy a ranch out here in West Texas. And it was just a rough piece of ground, but a beautiful piece of ground, and it was exactly what I was looking for. We've got four lakes on it now, and we rebuilt one of the lakes that are on it, and we made them each its own bass mecca. And we stocked it with Florida bass. We stocked all of the waters with Florida bass. They're all different types of fishing structures. All of them are different, but all of them similar. But in of course, it's a five-year maturity before each one of them, all of them are just busting with giant fish. So this will be a place where all of my friends, strictly for friends and family, and it's no charge. People just come down here and let's go fishing, let's go hunting, enjoy, let's have good times, let's enjoy ourselves. And it's just for all friends and family. And I think it's pretty, it's important to know that when you set up something like this, you have to harvest. You have to take fish out. You have to take small fish out so that the larger fish have plenty of food to eat. And so we have to have fishing. And then the hunting, you have to hunt, because if you don't take the animals out, the animals will overpopulate. So it's a managing type deal. I've been fortunate to be able to manage properties over a long period of time as well. So we just decided we're going to do it for ourselves, for our friends and family. I'm not getting any younger, and I realize this will be something that just not only my family, but all of my
friends.
But
you're getting prettier. You may not get any younger. You're getting prettier.
Well, according to my brothers, I'm not getting any prettier. They say you're getting old just like us.
Well, you know what, Steve? I love talking to you, and I'm going to be back in just a few minutes. We're going to play the Legend Name Game. This is where I hit you with a name, and you hit me and tell me about them in about, you know, 2 minutes, and we'll hit as many names as we can. So don't go anywhere, okay? I'll be right back. Okay, Steve?
You bet.
Okay.
You bet.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking to Steve Parks, an amazing black belt from Texas and a dear friend of the Sport Climbing Museum. And we'll be back with him in just a few minutes. But now I want to talk about what we have every week. It's a segment called The Six. And it's opinions of six different individuals who are throughout America. They're black belts, but they have opinions. And tonight we're going to be talking about your instructor. What did he influence on you, and what did he teach you, and how are you passing it on? Well, the first person of the six is one of my dearest friends. She's a former PKL champion. She's Kung Fu and Karate. She trains in Shoryu Karate and Kung Fu. I'm talking about the amazing Karen Slatcher. Karen, are you there?
I sure am.
Well, the checks in the mail. The
introduction
is getting better and better, I bet.
Well, Thank you so much.
Your opinion is so important to me. So what did your instructor leave with you, and how do you pass it on, Karen?
Okay. I had two or three very important instructors, and two of them said the same thing 20 years apart, and that was, there's never a good enough excuse not to practice. You have to practice. I don't care how good you are. You can be better, but you have to do the work. You have to put your time in. And my one teacher said, if you want to give me a present, the greatest gift you can give me is to practice. Let me drive by your house and see you out in the backyard practicing without being told. Let me find out that that's what you do on the weekends. You know, you get up early and you practice. That, to him, made his life worth living. So I would say that teaching them to practice is the highest form of respect and love. And there's never a good enough excuse not to practice.
Now, who did you train in Kung Fu? Didn't you train with Paulie Zink, who did the monkey
Kung Fu? I have trained with Paulie Zink, but in the yin yoga part of his training. I have trained with Grandmaster Peter Pernigotti from Newark, New Jersey. He was my main teacher. And I also trained with Ken Cohen in Qigong and Tai Chi.
Oh, wow.
So that's cool. That's what I do.
Well, you're a heck of a lady. Thank you for your
opinion. Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, honey. Did David Chambers get on yet? Dee, are you there?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hey, okay, let me introduce you properly. Ladies and gentlemen, the president of the Amateur Organization of Karate, which is basically the Texas Sport Karate Association. He also is a many-time MVP Golden Greek winner. I'm talking about the one and only David Chambers. I call him D.E. D.E., hey, buddy, how you doing?
Good, so talk to me.
Well, what did your instructor leave with you, and how are you passing on to your students? What did he leave with you, sir?
Well, I'm blessed that my instructor is still active, and I just asked him yesterday, could he do a favor for me? And he said yes. I asked him, could he test my students? Now, I was scared when I asked that question because him testing the students actually tests me. My students don't do well. I could be, because I don't want to think about that. But anyway, he said yes. And I announced tonight that my students, I have a few testing for black belt, a couple testing for brown, and I'm excited about that because they understand what he has done for me. He helped me out tremendously in character by being an example setter. Now, when he tested for his test stand, he had all of his different schools, and I was one of them, that came out and tested under Burleson and a whole group of individuals that was testing him. And then we went out and actually did the form and did the self-defense, showing what he's done for the community. So he's done a lot in many different ways, but the biggest thing I would say he's done for me that's carried on through the students is he enabled me to understand the ability of the discipline that's bigger than the punching and kicking. I've been blessed. I've been able to win a lot of things, but it's so much bigger than the punching and the kicking and the awards. And that's what he actually shared with me that I can share with the students.
Well, your opinion is so important to me, Dee, and thank you for being on the six. Now, moving right along, he's a 10th degree black belt, an old school karate man. He also is the editor of the official website for the Sport Karate Museum. I'm talking about Professor Tom Spellman. Tom, are you there, sir?
Yes, sir, I am.
Well, what does your instructor teach you, and how are you passing it on?
Well, I, too, have been very, very blessed with a bunch of really incredible teachers over my career. And one of the things I find is that we have a lot of do's, a lot of things that we aspire to and try and, bring to us. And then there's some other things we have to take into consideration, too. Grandmaster Jerry Smith, he always gave us the seven virtues of Bushido, the warrior code, to really kind of measure our understandings and the way we approach things and other people and our goals in life. My teacher, Thomas White, a karate do teacher, talked about mizu no kokoro, which means to have a heart like water. But the word kokoro in Japanese can mean heart, mind, or spirit. So it's got a multiplicity of ways in which that interpretation can affect the way you approach things. And that is centered most in my kamisan, my altar, and my dojo. So the people face that every day with a mirror up above it to remind themselves that they have to face themselves in doing this and purify themselves in that crucible of training. But my father was my first instructor in jiu-jitsu. And one of the things he told me when I was very young, since he started me at 3, was never to give up. You will always experience dishonesty, frustration, disappointment, malice, much, much more, and your warrior path. But understand that those are also teachings, because they are the things that the warrior must steel himself and fortify himself against falling prey to those particular easy ways or wrong directions. And the way my father made it so I remember that was, he says, always remember you're good for something, even if it is a bad example. So
yes,
you plays a part in everything else. But so there's those things. There's the things that you strive for, and there are also the other things that you guard against to try and purify yourself along the path. And my teachers have given me these things and a multitude of other things to hand down and to guide my students and my teaching. And for that, I'm very grateful, and my students have benefited as I have from them for all the years now that I've been teaching.
Well, that is very, very special, and your opinion is very important. Now, moving right along, you talked about it a moment, but I won't introduce him. He used to work for Blotwell Magazine in the early days. He was a student of Joe Lewis's from the time he was very young as a Marine through the years, and he is now living in Las Vegas. He's a big mentor for the Sport Choir Museum. I call him Uncle Jerry Smith, but people know him as the co-founder of the Black Karate Federation, along with great men like Ron Chappell and Cliff Stewart, rest in peace. I'm talking about the one, the only, Jerry Smith. Jerry, are you there, sir?
I'm here, sir. I'm here.
Well, it's so good to hear you. I missed you last week, and I know you've been kind of under the weather, but I know your sole instructor was Joe, Mr. Lewis. What did he teach you and to pass on to your students, Uncle Jerry?
My goodness. Well, what Joe taught me literally changed my life and martial arts, and I don't really think I would still be doing it if it wasn't for him. And one of the things that we would do, Chuck Norris had a studio on Wilshire Boulevard. It was Chuck's show studio. I don't know if he had sold his name at that time or what, but Howard Jackson was one of his head instructors at that studio.
Yes.
Now, I don't know if Chuck ever knew, but on Friday nights, after Friday, Saturday night of the weekend, because Howard was the head instructor at that studio, myself, Joe, Cliff Stewart, and Howard, because Howard had the keys to the studio, would go in that beautiful studio on Wilshire Boulevard, and we would train and we would work, and I will never forget those training sessions that we had. One of the things that Joe told me was, Joe accepted me as a student because we both had studied on Okinawa, but at different times. But man, what he showed me was so, so different than what I was doing traditionally. Because Joe was actually, at that particular time, also training with Bruce Lee.
Yeah.
And one of the things that he told me, he says, Jerry, he goes, let me tell you something. He said, if you truly want to become a champion, you have to train like a champion. You know, you have to eat correctly. You have to actually look at martial arts and look at you're training in a holistic way, you know, physical, mental, technical, academic, and psychological. And that was, and that encompasses so much. And he would say, he would look at what you, whatever you did, if you did it really well, he did defensive and offensive sparring. He would say, okay, you do that really well. Let's not do that. Let's do what you don't do well. If you were a good puncher, he'd go, okay, your kicks, let's work on your kicks. And there are little things like when you're fighting full contact, which I passed it on to my students. He says, if ever you get hurt, he says, well, there are different ways that you can slow the fight down if you get hurt. One way you can tie up the opponent with your hand. You learn how to tie up, lean on him, or you're putting your weight on him, walk him across the ring to the other side with your feet. There's all these little subtle things. If you get hurt and the referee breaks it, walk behind the referee. Put the referee in between you and because normally when you get hurt, the guy's going to come directly at you. But if you walk behind the referee, he has to get past the referee to get through. It was all kinds of little amazing, wonderful things that he passed on. And I'll leave you with this one last thing. He said, Jerry, the true measure of a champion is not to have any secrets. He said, if you're a true champion, you train, and if there are other people who train or opponents or other people that you know, you tell them what you know, and then you beat them. If you can beat them, if you can give them everything. He goes, there is no secret. Then you're. That's what I, and a lot more. I would be here all night telling you the things that he taught me. But,
I know. But I want to say, I missed you last week. I'm so glad you're back. And I'll call you real soon, Uncle Jerry. I will. Now, moving right along, another student of Mr. Lewis, before he passed, he allowed me to adopt him. I'm talking about Dean Pyle. Dean, are you there, sir?
Yes, sir, right here.
Okay. You know, you trained with Joe like Jerry did, but you were like the last person with Joe in his years of teaching. What did Joe teach you or pass on to you for you to pass on to your students, Dean?
Well, just like Mr. Smith said, he taught me a lot of things. One was to innovate, not imitate. To be able to take something and make it work when other people couldn't make it work. He also taught me to keep my body strong and my martial arts would follow. You know, a lot of people go, well, I don't work out or I don't use weight because, you know, it'll make me stiff, it'll make me slow, but that's not the case if you know how to stretch properly and utilize that to your advantage. And that's one thing that Grandmaster Lewis did all the time is he utilized everything to his advantage, just like walking around behind the ref. That's what you have to do. And he taught me to see things that the other fighter might not see in the fight and utilize that to my advantage and make that my strength. And, you know, and then going through that, you know, with Grandmaster Lewis and then, you know, because I've had such great instructors like a Sensei Earwood and him teaching me how to snap that weapon, make that power, utilize my transition. One of the main things that a Sensei Earwood taught me was keeping God first and keeping him always present in everything I do. And then my next instructor, you know, we got to mention Professor Gary Lee. And, you know, we talk and it's about using the attitude and how you enter the combative area or arena to not only respect the ring that you're in, but to announce to the arena and the people there that you are present. Draw their attention. Let them know that this day belongs to you. And if they're going to take that day, that they have to be on their best and not make any mistakes because you're definitely not going to because you put in the time, the training, and the practice. And then, you know, with my judo, jiu-jitsu, with Michael D. Pasquale, you know, he's just teaching you the movements and how to, let's just take just the dead block. just to be able to block somebody without looking like you're putting all this energy into it, how to be able to control the fight and keep all your energy and your endurance and your, you know, cardio at the same time, because you're not out there trying to over-muscle or overpower the guy. Even if you do have large muscles, you learn how to utilize that guy's body against him, his energy against him, his techniques against him, and to transition all that. And then to combine all that together, that's what I try to pass on to my students each and every night. So I want to, a deep bow of respect to each and every one of you guys, Professor.
Yes. Well, your opinion is so important, and I want to say really appreciate the six now. AJ was, like I said, under the weather. He's not going to be here, but I asked my special guest tonight to be part of the six, Mr. Parks. Steve, are you there?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
What did Mr. Brammer leave with you to pass on to your students, Steve, as a special guest of the six tonight?
I'll be glad to mention that, but Mr. Smith, I appreciate what you said about training so hard, being at the top of the game. What Mr. Lewis said for you, because that is a champion in itself. Not only do you stay at the top of the game, but everybody, if you're equal, the fact that you train and you keep training, and your training is always, you can tell them exactly what you're going to do or exactly how you fight and what your skill set is. But you train so much. You've got your body so ready. Your attitude is already as good as it can be. And your everything about your training is at the top of the food chain. Nobody's going to train harder than you. So
yes,
the
sir.
Fact is, y'all can all be equal. But if you train harder than he does, and you're ready more than the other, more than the opponent, you're going to win it.
Yeah, man.
I think that's one of the biggest things that
we can all remember.
To be a champion, you have to be the best. You have to be the best.
Well, thank you for taking AJ's place tonight, and we'll have AJ back next week. But I thank you so much.
Mr. Lee, I would like to mention what Mr. Brammer taught me, one of the most important things.
Go ahead, sir. Go ahead.
Two things in particular. Number one, he said the littlest things will wind up being the biggest things.
Yes, sir.
Always pay attention to the smallest details, because those are the things that will make the biggest changes in your life.
Yes, sir.
And
well,
another thing
God
was
Mr. Brown.
And another thing.
Yes, sir.
One more thing, Gary. He also said that selfishness and selflessness sound the same, but they're two totally different things. And the sooner we start seeing that it's about everyone else and not ourselves, the sooner we start looking to make positive impacts in other people's lives instead of our own, the better our own lives will be. Mr. Brammer was very much a philosopher, but he was a great teacher and a great martial artist. But he was more about teaching our minds and our spirit and our hearts as much about that as he was about training us in martial arts.
Yes, sir. And, you know, I want to say thank you so much for your opinions. I'm talking about everybody on the set. And, you know, I'll just really keep it simple. When I got on the plane at 14 years old, my instructors, Toshiro Sensei and Bobby Lowe, it was simple. They said, keep it real. Three words, keep it real. That's why I learned from those gentlemen, to keep it real. And that's what I've tried to do with the Sport Quality Museum all these years. So thank you for being on the six, everybody. Now, moving right along, I have a very, very close friend who invented a hologram in virtual reality that attacks you. I'll let him talk about it a little bit. Reggie, are you on the line? Reggie?
Hello, sir. Good evening. How are you doing today?
Good evening, Dr. Lee. How are you, sir?
Good. Thank you.
Good. Well, tell people a little bit about SetVR.app.
Yes. Thank you, sir. Before I begin, I would like to put out a big shout-out a shout-out to A.J. Perry. We all wish you a speedy recovery, sir.
Yes.
I just want to mention some, if I could, sir, just take a moment about the topics you spoke about what's the importance about martial arts. And being a martial arts and a clinician, I believe the basic premise of being a martial arts and being a clinician is to identify the important thing about the basic foundation of structure and function as it relates to yourself as a practitioner and also to your opponent. In regards to yourself, as the Wolverine had clearly noted, for your structure, you need to build your body up to make sure you have the capacity to function. So, like, I agree with what the Wolverine had said, that you have to have a good body and a strong foundation in order to function as it relates to you as a practitioner. As it relates to an opponent, as you know, if I destroy your structure, I destroy your function. So structure and function is, to me, a very, very important concept in regards to how I deal with an opponent or how I approach martial arts. So I always basically, and the way I was trained, always know your anatomy, because every individual, they can be different personalities, whatever, but they have the same anatomy, the same bone structure, the same joints. So if you know the anatomy of your opponent, you have an advantage. So I just want to make that comment about that. So we are super excited of what we did and accomplished at the recent Texas conference by introducing SetVR on a 65-inch TV screen to show to the martial arts community the functionality, the application, and the demonstration of the SetVR application, self-defense enhancement training in virtual reality. We came back home and now planning to hit the ground running with our SetVR program. With the Oculus Rift or Oculus Quest headset, you'll be transported to a virtual reality platform whereby a hologram will confront and attack you when you least expect it. With random attacks, the goal of our program for SetVR is to have you to be able to neutralize an attack or a threat that is sudden, unpredictable, and random. We are now on Twitter. We are now on Twitter. We took the video demonstration from the Texas conference and placed it on the Twitter platform. We now have on Twitter over 1,000 followers. The demonstration video that we showed the importance of mobility by moving linear, angular, and circular to block and punch in tandem while in motion as you continue to develop a reflex response to a random attack. How cool is that? To neutralize without hesitation. So please continue to visit us at our website at setvr.app. That's SETVR.app. We continue to be proud to endorse Professor Gary Lee and the Sports Karate Museum to be a future platform for his vision of the History Portal. With that being said, Professor Gary Lee, some few words about the History Portal, sir.
Well, the beautiful thing about SetVR is not only just a game for gamers, it's very educational for, well, it's also a great workout, but it's going to be the future platform of the History General portals, where you'll go in and go into a person's portal, and you'll learn everything there is about that particular person's career. Now, we're going to start with a core group, Mr. Burleson, Mr. Steen, and Mike Stone, and some others. But then every month, we're going to add a new History General. But the gaming platform and the workout of SetVR is going to revolutionize working out on VR. And if you don't know what VR is, it's virtual reality. And you have to have the Oculus Quest or the Rift to do SetVR. Now, this is really simple. Just go to YouTube and type in Oculus Quest 2, and you'll see the platform for SetVR.app. If you want to find out more about it, just go to Google. That's right. Go to Google and type in SETVR.APP. That stands for Self-Defense Enhanced Training in Virtual Reality Application. And we're gonna give you updates and future things of SetVR. So stay tuned with Dr. Reginald Lee, the inventor, along with that are Shanahan and, of course, Marie. And we're so excited about where Sundar is going to. Thank you, Reggie, for being on the show tonight. And I appreciate you so much, sir. God bless you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Have a good evening.
Well,
thank you for having me on the show.
We're moving right along. One of my favorite segments is, we were talking to him earlier, but he has an alias. He's called the Wolverine. Now, he's like a pit bull. And I keep him on the leash except for 3 minutes every week. And we talk about topics that maybe you don't want to talk about or you don't know what to talk about or whatever. But we let him off the leash for 3 minutes. Now, tonight, the topic is real simple. How many Black Belt Hall of Fames you need to belong to be somebody? Wolverine, what do you feel about that, sir?
Hey, in my opinion, you don't have to belong to any Black Belt Hall of Fames to be somebody. You know, the point about Hall of Fames is, and I know it's going to make people mad, but you know what? That's just tough, is a lot of Hall of Fames are just selling ego. They're not putting people in Hall of Fames that have done a lot. Yeah, you know, the reason people talk about baseball or football or basketball only having one Hall of Fame is because you have to be at the top of that game. You have to have been an outstanding player, an outstanding champion to be put in a Hall of Fame. But what the martial arts world has found out is you can sell people and put them in a Hall of Fame if you say, hey, we're going to put you in the Hall of Fame because 2 days ago you jumped up out of your chair and run across the room. Let's congratulate you. You know, you did that. Nobody else has done that. You're in the Hall of Fame. So now for only $400, we're giving you some trophies and some stuff. You know, the one thing that I really love about the Sport Karate History Museum is that people don't just blow smoke to you and you just put them in the Hall of Fame or put them in your, you know, into the history, you know, put them in the
well,
history museum. Because, right. But you actually know their lineage, and it's not like somebody can just come up and say, hey, you know, I did this, that, or the other, and you go, hey, you're in. We're putting you in the museum. You don't do that. You're like, you know what? I don't have anybody verify that. So, you know, you put them to the side. And, you know, what people's got to realize, because I've talked to a lot of, you know, of the top people in the martial arts world that's really run a lot of stuff, like Alan Kelly and different people that, you know, may get overlooked just because, you know, that these guys have won all kinds of stuff. And let's be real. Anytime anybody goes to doing anything, they promote whatever they're doing by the champion. Chuck Norris, Bill Wallace, Jeff Smith, Joe Lewis. Hey, they always talk about that. Ernie Reyes, all those people that are big-time champions. And that's what gets people to come out. But, you know, in all reality is you don't need anybody's justification or their opinion to know what you are. You just need to know that you've been out there, you've done your best, and that you've made a mark and that you've made an impact. There's lots of great champions that are champions that are not in Hall of Fame just because they refuse not to buy into it. You know, I like to, you know, Hall of Fames are an honor, especially if you've been out there working hard and competing and paying your dues on the circuit. It's not so much an honor when you went to, you know, 14, 15, 20 competitions a year, driving every other weekend, spending thousands of dollars, just to have somebody say, hey, you've done so good, we want to charge you some more money to recognize you. You know, that's the difference. So, you know, you don't need anybody's endorsement. You just need to be the best that you can be, and people's going to know what you are by your work, not by what you tell people. And that's the Wolverine's opinion.
Means a lot. You know, I get to let the Wolverine out of the doghouse every week.
And that was weird because, you know, I love – at first that was weird because I love AJ, and, you know, I hired him to be in the movie. But that was weird. Yeah. I went through that whole thing without hearing, hey, Dean, Hey, Dane. I bet he was saying that at home. I love you, AJ. I'm going to call him tomorrow.
We love you, AJ.
But anyway, yeah, we got a read tomorrow, so he'll be he won't miss that. He's always there for the reads. He's a star player.
Well, Marine, I appreciate your opinion so much, and I'll see you next week, buddy. I'll give you a call. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that was our segments, and I want to say thank you to everybody, especially the six and Dr. Lee and everybody, and of course, the Wolverine. Now, coming back to my special guest, Steve, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, we got just a couple more minutes. Let me hit you with a couple names.
Mm-hmm.
Ready? First one, Jamie Cashin. What do you think about him?
Jamie Cashin, I think he's a terrific motivator for the martial arts industry. I think he's a good ambassador for martial arts too. I also think he's got a really big heart for certain people in martial arts, especially Mr. Burleson, because I think he's been basically caring for him for I don't know how many years.
For years,
and he's done a wonderful job. And he started training under, you know, with Billy Smith and
right.
us when he was just a young child, and then but he's a good boy. He really is. He's a
let me
really
hit you with someone that I'm kind of close to. Her name is Robin Shockley. She happens to be my daughter, but I know you're a big part of her life. She loves
she's
you.
She's such a sweetheart. Yeah, she's a sweetheart, and wow, is that girl. She's full of heart, and she's moving and shaking, and she's great socially. She's got passion. I always said if a person has passion, number one, they prepare themselves, number two, and they persevere through all things. I call this the three P's. If they can do that, then they can conquer any challenge that there is. And she's got it. She has passion. She prepares herself, and then she works at it. And I haven't seen her quit anything, and she's just a mover and a shaker, and God bless her for it.
Well, I got one more for you. The other half,
mm-hmm.
Gary Lee. My son. What do you think about him?
I think Garrett is, when Garrett was a child, I mean, he was a little bitty kid, and I remember him doing demos and stuff like that. I remember watching him fight, and he was just, what a kid he was. I mean, a superstar. He's been a superstar his entire life. No matter what he does in martial arts, he's a star. He does everything wonderful. He does it great. And Mr. Lee, I never saw you fight in the past. I never saw you during the tournament, doing any tournaments or anything like that. I remember that you used to do a lot of that stuff. But if you were anything like your son, kudos to you, because your son is one of the finest young martial artists I've ever seen, and full of passion.
He's 10 times the martial artist I was. I'll tell you why. Ed Daniels stood up at his test when we tested mm-hmm. with Mr. and everything, and he goes, Gary, you know why you're going to be 10 times better than your father? And Garrett was bleeding, and he was just a kid. He says, no, sir. And Ed Daniels goes, because you were born in Texas. Well, you know, Steve, thank you for being on the show tonight. I really appreciate you so much. And for anybody who wants to listen to the show later on, you can go to AMAA Radio on Google and type in my name and the date, and you can listen to this show. So, Steve Parks, you take care of yourself, sir, and I'll talk to you real soon.
Thank you,
okay,
Mr.
Lee.
God bless you. God bless all of you. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been a very fun show tonight. It's been really special because, you know, every show is special, but tonight has been very special because Steve Parks has been a part of my life for a long time, and he understands the passion of the Sport Karate Museum. And for more information, you just go to www.sportkaratemuseumarchives.com, then a / then home, HOME.html. And that'll take you to the website. You see all the work that Professor Tom Selman has done and the future of what authenticity is, because you can go to that webpage and you can read about some incredible people and some incredible stories that Professor Tom Selman is putting on that webpage. So, ladies and gentlemen, as we say every week, we mean it from the heart. Mahalo and aloha. Good night, everybody. Thank you.